This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 242 for the weekend of September 18th through September 20th. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. Art, how's it going?
It's going good. Same old, same old.
Yeah. And speaking of same old, same old, let's talk about the box office last week. And, you know, we're kind of in the doldrums here. There isn't really too many movies I'm excited about that's going to pull me into the theater. But we did have quite a battle, actually, last week. So here's the top five for the last weekend's box office. This is for the weekend of September 11th through September 13th. At number one, we have The Perfect Guy, coming in at $25.9 million. At number two, we have The Visit, coming in at, surprise, surprise, $25.4 million. So we have about half a million between number one and number two. I don't think that's happened recently. It might have happened.
It's been a while.
Yeah, but especially two movies that have pushed over $20 million. So that's actually rather decent for this time of year. At number three, we have War Room. That's in its third week release. That is at $7.8 million. At number four, we have A Walk in the Woods at $4.7 million. And at number five, we have Mission : Impossible - Rogue Nation at $4.1 million. And there's your top five.
Yeah, I think I know somebody who went to see A Walk in the Woods, and they really enjoyed it. They thought it was very funny. I think it's interesting. It didn't get mentioned, but Straight Outta Compton fell from number two all the way down to number six, just pushing it out of the top five.
Wow.
You see the total gross so far, $155 million.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Bad news is 90 Minutes in Heaven, which was a new release, even though it was on 800 screens, managed a paltry $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't too good. Do you know anything about The Visit?
I do not.
I know it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Oh, okay.
So I haven't seen trailers for it for anything. It's kind of been like a stealth release.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't think he was working anymore. Yeah,
well, apparently that is not true. Apparently that is not true. So, and a couple weeks ago, I talked about that, you know, Terminator Genesis didn't really do that well. And, you know, just based on domestic box office, you got to say that that's going to be the last one. But it did so great in China that now they're going to, you know, they're full steam ahead on completing the trilogy scary as that sounds.
Well, we'll see. We'll talk a little bit more about that type of situation in news.
There is a good thing that happened in China. So if you think of the Terminator Genesis thing as bad news in China, this is good news. Pixels did $2.1 million on its opening Tuesday.
Well, that's good.
Which is terrible for China.
Yeah,
and they also say 70% less than Tomorrowland's opening day. So it actually did worse than Tomorrowland. So that's something that's nice. So, yeah. All right. That's enough about box office for right now. So now, this is part of the show where we stop talking about what happened last weekend, and we're going to kind of look ahead to what's going on this weekend. So there's two movies that are coming out. So, Art, which one do you want to talk about? You want to talk about Maze Runner? Or you want to talk about Black Mass? And apologize to the audience, because usually this is something that we talk about before the show, not during the show. So go ahead, Art. Pick your poison.
I'll go ahead and I'll take Maze Runner.
All right.
The Scorch Trials. Because I'm still really interested in this franchise. I still haven't seen the first movie. I really need to get out and do that. But the whole concept just really kind of interests me. It is 59% rotten on the tomato meter. 98% want to see it. So, in this next chapter of the epic Maze Runner saga, Thomas, Dylan O'Brien, and his fellow gladers face their greatest challenge yet, searching for clues about the mysterious and powerful organization known as WCKD.
Is that a radio station? Okay, go ahead.
It sounds like it. Their journey takes them to the Scorch, a desolate landscape filled with unimaginable obstacles. Teaming up with resistance fighters, the gladers take on WCKD's vastly superior forces and uncover its shocking plans for them all. Rated PG-13 for extended sequences of violence and action, some thematic elements, substance use, and language. Action Adventure, directed by Wes Ball, written by James Dasher and T.S. Nowlin. Runtime, 2 hours and 9 minutes. And Thomas Brody Sanks, Kayla Scodelario. I don't know any of these people. They were probably all in the first movie. Nope, I got nothing.
Yeah, there's some serious syllables going on in some of these credits, like Giancarlo Esposito. And I don't know, they have, Rotten Tomatoes did that thing again where they list the same guy twice. Because they got Thomas Brody Sangster at the top, and then they just got Thomas Sangster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it feels like there's more people in it, or more than 10. So maybe they killed off a bunch of people. Yeah, it's interesting that you're interested in this, even though you haven't seen either of the movies.
I know, just the previews right. Of the premise has me interested. I just haven't had the opportunity. Like, if it was on Netflix, I'd probably put it at the top of my queue.
Okay. Some choice reviews that I'm seeing here at the bottom. A fresh review from the San Jose Mercury News. O'Brien is so fully physically committed that you can't help but believe in him, and he's surrounded by a winning supporting cast of young actors who are a pleasure to watch. And so we will bookend that with a Rotten review from Kevin P. Sullivan from Entertainment Weekly. The Scorch Trials wanders between YA cliches. There's resistance, but it's unclear what they're resisting, and zombie movie tropes with the obligatory a zombie bit our friend scene. So, yeah. So, yeah, this will be video.
Yeah.
I know my daughter was really into the books, but I never saw the first one with her, so I don't know. But she's a big Dylan O'Brien fan.
Okay. Well, why don't you go ahead and tell us about the other movie?
All right. Well, we have another interesting hairstyle, Johnny Depp, in this new movie called The Black Mass. It is 80% on the tomato meter. Out of 49 reviews, 39 fresh, 10 rotten. 98% of the Rotten Tomato people want to see it. That's about 23,000 people. So here's the description. In 1970s South Boston, FBI agent John Connolly, Joel Edgerton, persuades Irish mobster James Whitey Bulger, or Bulger, Johnny Depp, to collaborate with the FBI and eliminate a common enemy, the Italian mob. The drama tells a story of this unholy alliance which spiraled out of control, allowing Whitey to evade law enforcement, consolidate power, and become one of the most ruthless and powerful gangsters in Boston history. Rated R for brutal violence, language throughout, some sexual references, and brief drug use. This is a drama. It is written by Mark Malouk and Jez Butterworth, directed by Scott Cooper. This will cost you 2 hours and 2 minutes of your time, and probably more than that from your wallet. Other people in the movie we haven't mentioned, Benedict Cumberbatch as William Bulger, Dakota Johnson, Sienna Miller, Corey Stoll from people that just saw Ant-Man, Adam Scott.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'll be interested to see how this does in the box office, because Johnny Depp has not been doing well lately.
Yeah. I don't know. Tomato meter rating is high. The percent who want to see it is high. So we'll see. It could be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So that is the two movies coming out in wide release. So,
hold on one second.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I just, out of nowhere, there are a couple of things I wanted to mention. I remember we talked about Pawn Sacrifice a while back, and that's finally coming out, a little indie movie that I thought looked interesting. It's about, Bobby Fischer and chess, and those things always catch my eye. So that's also hitting this week. And I just thought it was interesting. I thought I'd mention it. The other thing I wanted to mention just quickly is there's another small indie movie coming out called Peace Officer. And, you know, with everything that's going on lately with all the cops and shootings and whatnot, it is a documentary about a police officer who formed the first rural state SWAT team in, where was it? I don't think it says. But anyway, the SWAT team 30 years later went on to shoot his son-in-law in a very controversial shooting, and then he is trying to figure out exactly what happened. And I just thought it was very interesting, just in the timing of everything that's going on kind of nationwide and the release of this movie. I mean, it had to come out at some point, but it's just interesting. There was a couple of minor things I wanted to mention that were coming out this week.
Yeah, no, since we're talking about indie movies, there was a two at the bottom as I'm looking at Box Office Mojo on release schedule. Because I've been seeing a lot of commercials for Sicario,
Okay.
but I'm surprised it's only on six screens, unless they're doing that thing where it comes out small and then it'll be wide release next week. But I don't see it, going wide or anything.
Right.
That kind of looks interesting, Benicio del Toro, Emily Blunt, Josh Brolin.
Oh, okay.
And the other one, I was just clicking on War Pigs because I haven't heard anything about it, and you'd think I would hear something about War Pigs. And as usual, Box Office Mojo doesn't really give you any like marketing information other than the release date and the runtime, but it does show four actors in it, three of which are Dolph Lundgren, Mickey Rourke, and Chuck Liddell.
I don't know who Chuck Liddell is. The name
He's
sounds
an
familiar.
MMA fighter.
Oh, okay. I was like, the name sounds familiar, but I can't place it.
Yeah. So if anyone out there watches that, let me know how it is, because maybe I'll write it down for when it eventually comes on Netflix. All right. So now we're done talking about what's coming out in the theater, and now we can mosey on over to Share Time. This is part of the show where each host basically tells you how they've been spending their time as far as TV, movies, or other forms of entertainment. And we didn't record last week, so you got 14 days to cover, Art. So what have you been up to?
Yes. All right. So I, like I said, I was going to watch The Knights of Badassdom.
Oh, okay.
And I was a little disappointed. It was a little more B movie than I thought it was going to be. Like, I don't know what I expected because they had so many big names. I was expecting maybe just a little bit more higher caliber. I think I would have enjoyed it more if I had watched it with a group of gaming buddies, you know, like I had planned to. If I had watched it originally when it came out and I got the gaming group together and we sat down and watched it, I think I would have enjoyed it twice as much easily. And I still enjoyed it. There were some really great references in it, you know, to anybody who's played, you know, D&D. But I think it was just a little, I don't know what, D movie-ish, more so than I thought it would be. Even though I know it was an indie movie and, you know, at least VOD almost at the same time, and you know, I knew exactly what it was going into it, and I still was expecting just a little bit more, not a lot, just a smidge. And I think if I had that camaraderie when I watched it, I think I would have enjoyed it a lot more.
Okay.
So anyway, next up on the list is I watched the Michael Bay Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And by comparison, I don't know if it was that my expectations were set so low. I was completely blown away by how much I enjoyed that movie.
Really? Okay.
I
This might
really
be our last show, but go ahead.
Have you seen it?
Oh yeah, I
Okay.
went to the theater and
You
saw
went
it.
to the theater and you utterly hated it? I mean,
I didn't hate it. I don't know. There were just one thing for me was I kept getting distracted by Megan Fox's lip job. I she
okay,
she 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 just looks to me, she looks so much worse than she looked when she was, maybe younger or pre-operation, but yeah, it was a little on the dark side because, the villain was talking about he was going to drain the blood out of all the turtles.
Yeah, no, it was, it
It
was, it was
kind
definitely a modern things up, but I still enjoyed the story. I enjoyed the background. You know,
of.
they, yeah, I know, I liked it. I like how they tied into the animated series the last one that just came out, April's father was a scientist. And I don't know how far back that goes. I don't think he was in the original comics. I'm not sure that it ever came up in the late 80s cartoon. Late 80s, early 90s. Anyway, so I'd have to go back and look into that. I thought it was funny because there was so many rumors going around about how he had made them alien. And the whole alien things was just somebody's off-the-cuff remark about not understanding really what was going on.
Right.
And I don't know. It just I really enjoyed it. I didn't have any problems with it. But like I said, it could be that my expectations were just so low that I don't know. But I really enjoyed it. So yeah, I'm gonna have to go have a talk with other Tony because he had to watch it because he was babysitting his nieces and nephews and they wanted to see it and so he went to see it with them and he has a what's the proper term? A hate that burns with the passion of a thousand burning suns for Michael Bay because of what he's done to Transformers. and Transformers is like his number one favorite thing as far as like cartoon type, you know, childhood growing up things. And Ninja Turtles is number two. So it was just kind of funny that Michael Bay is just crapping all over Tony's childhood from his point of view. But I really enjoyed it. So I'm going to talk with him about it, see what he thought.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed that the funniest scene in the movie was in the trailer, the elevator.
Okay. The elevator was pretty good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. I really enjoyed it overall. So anyway, next thing on my list is I saw Frankenweenie.
Okay.
The new Tim Burton stop motion animation one.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Aubrey likes it. She's watched it multiple times since we got it. And I will put that as another one in that, you know, Tim Burton stop motion animation franchise that I like. I think we own all of them at this point. We now have Nightmare Before Christmas, Corpse Bride, Coraline. Was Coraline Tim Burton? I think it was, but I'm not positive.
I don't think so.
That one, yeah, that one's a toss-up. Anyway, and then now Frankenweenie. Well, they're all in that same vein. So, anyway. But enjoyed it very much. I would recommend it, especially if you have a small child, maybe five and up, because she's almost four, and her mother was real borderline about it. She's like, I don't know. And I'm like, nah, let's just go with it. And then another thing I've been watching a lot of because of Aubrey is a Netflix original called Dino Trucks. They are vehicles that are modeled. They're a dinosaur and a particular type of truck smashed together. So you have like a T-Rex with a wrecking ball tail, or an Ankylosaurus that's a dump truck, or a Triceratops that's a bulldozer, or a I think it's an Apatosaurus that is a crane. I'm pretty sure she's not a Brontosaurus. Her head isn't shaped right. Anyway, and Stegosaurus that's a garbage truck. And it's actually very entertaining. And it mostly, the only reason I'm really talking about it is because it's a Netflix original. Right. So that's the main thing that caught my eye about it. Other than that, if I had just been watching it on regular TV, I probably wouldn't have talked about it here. But there's another one, I think it's called Pixies, that's another Netflix original that just got released and I'm going to try and get her to check out soon. So I'm really enjoying some of this Netflix, more of this Netflix original programming. And that is it for share time for me.
Yeah, by the way, Coraline was Henry Selick.
Okay.
The director wasn't Tim Burton.
Gotcha.
Okay, so my share time. Unfortunately, I don't have a whole lot to talk about because this is a movies podcast and not a football podcast. But, you know, since football started. But my daughter has been after me to watch an Adam Sandler movie. So I sat through Grown Ups 2.
Okay.
And because she enjoyed the first one. And so I decided to give it a shot because it was going to be on TV. And I was... I don't know. I just got annoyed really quick with this movie just because of all of the fart, poop, burp jokes. Mm-hmm. And it seems like I didn't think that they could spend less time on the script than they did with the first one. But the first one had a little charm. The second one, I just couldn't believe things that were, that were happening. And it's kind of sad because Shaq is in it, and I like Shaq. And he was and he is kind of funny in it. But yeah, I mean, sometimes there are some redeeming qualities. I mean, if Just Go With It is on, I might watch that again because there's some good performances, or not really performances, but I enjoy some of the, the kid actors and some of the parts with Jennifer Aniston kind of thing. But this one, it just reeks of how many of my friends can I get into a movie? And there's a lot of cameos from people that he was on Saturday Night Live with. Tim Meadows, Ellen Cleghorn, a lot of people that probably Saturday Night Live nerds know who they are. But I'm probably gonna have to let her watch it because she there wasn't anything too, I think, inappropriate for her, because she's in high school now.
Right.
But yeah, but if you could, I would avoid it. I would avoid it.
Oh, I will.
I'm slowly but surely getting through Killjoys, still liking it. Kind of, I realize I only have like 4 or 5 episodes left, and I think Tad tells me that it's come back for season two. But I enjoy that show. I enjoy that show. And other than that, I don't know if I've talked about this before, but I've also been playing the Pandemic mobile game.
Okay.
That's a lot of fun, but maybe it's just me because I'm basically playing a board game on my phone.
Yeah, no. I mean, I still
But
play a lot of Star Realms every now and then.
right. Well, this is a it's a solo game. You don't play against anybody else,
Right.
kind of
No,
thing.
well, Star Realms, I play against the computer. I don't play
Right.
against,
Oh, okay.
so yeah.
And for people that are familiar with Pandemic and are interested in the game, you actually can spend an extra $2, and I guess you get the From the Brink
On the
expansion
brink.
or On the Brink. So, I haven't tried that, but it took me a while to beat the four player, because you could have four players going where you just play all four.
Okay.
I think the two and the three I beat it pretty quickly, but the four is a lot more dependent on which roles you are. So I probably bored everyone that doesn't has no idea what Pandemic is. So anyways.
Nah, whatever. We're talking, you're sharing.
All right,
You know,
so.
the other thing I did think of though, would you say you're watching a lot of football? I did see that post on Facebook that you kind of got schooled by a certain someone on the fantasy football league you're in.
I am not aware of this.
Oh yeah, no. Adam's wife posted the standings, and she was like 100 and something points on the first week, and
Oh.
I don't think anybody else had more than like 90.
Yeah, well, the good news is that we try to replicate actual football, so everyone plays another team. So I still won.
Oh, okay.
But there's n I didn't deserve the win,
I
because
don't
I
even
think
know.
there's two other teams that scored more points than I did that lost their game, including Adam, I think. I think most of it was because Adam's wife smacked around Adam. They
Oh, okay.
played each other the first week.
Gotcha. Okay.
So
Now,
that's what that was about.
I'm not even pretending to understand half of that. I just know she put on some
I'm
posts and
trying to
she
slowly get a toe in the water, Art. Slowly trying to get a toe in the water.
was
You were invited just like I was.
I know,
I
and
know.
I turned it down because
Okay.
I would have had like 20 points or something, and I don't even know how this thing
You
works, so.
never know. You never know. All right. So let's end the share time, and after share time, we go to news. So Art, what do you have to tell me?
Okay, so I'm going to kick it off with why Pacific Rim 2 has been halted indefinitely. My heart stopped when I saw this. So the sequel, which was aiming for a 2017 release date, now appears to have been halted indefinitely as the two studios go to war behind the scenes. So Legendary Universal with the former bringing more business to rival studio Warner Brothers, Legendary Universal still have a partnership, sharing production costs on projects ranging from Jurassic World and Steve Jobs. Warner, meanwhile, is partnering with Legendary on Kong Skull Island. There are constant negotiations, but when it came to Pacific Rim 2, Legendary has decided to pump the brakes, with the trade actually going so far as to wonder if it will get made at all. So the original movie came with a hefty price tag of $100 million, and while the film eventually went on to earn $411 million internationally, it didn't connect with U.S. audiences the way the studio had hoped. So this made me think of how you were mentioning earlier, how Pixels did, you know, overseas, mm-hmm. and there was another one you mentioned, and now I'm blanking. But whatever. So even with all the money that it made overseas, they're still not sure where this one's going. You see, Guillermo del Toro keeps running into problems with his sequels. He has been teasing Hellboy 3 for some time, and that particular trilogy concluder may now join Pacific Rim in the discard pile of projects that will never see the light of day. Yeah, I thought, oh no, that's gonna hurt. But they're saying hopefully if Kong Skull Island is a massive hit, it would help prove that there's a big audience out there for that type of spectacle. He also talked about taking it in a different direction, but it doesn't really matter at this point if it doesn't get made. I would be very sad.
Yeah, I actually had an article from Collider basically talking about the same thing, but it kind of included more movies.
Okay.
Let's just wait a second, because Firefox has decided to take a coffee break. Because, you know, apparently the partnership between Universal and Legendary, they're starting to see, or they're starting to have differences over a bunch of movies. They're actually worried about Warcraft, that they don't think that it's going to be a nerds only party, and it's not going to have a wide appeal kind of thing. And I guess that there was some to do about Del Toro's movie that's coming out, Crimson Peak. I guess Universal wanted it to be PG-13, but Del Toro was adamant about keeping it at R.
Okay.
And I guess it's going to stay in R.
Good for him.
Yeah, and I don't know if that would cause a kind of widen the rift, and you know, kind of put Pacific Rim 2 on hold.
Right.
So
I don't understand. Like, even if it is a nerd only party, do they realize how many people are playing MMOs?
Right.
You know, and it's not just nerd people. It's so many people. Millions and millions and millions.
They're
not looking at those numbers right.
Yeah, so I think we kind of talked about the same news story. So Art, why don't you go next with your next one?
Sure. Okay, another one that really caught my eye, because I think at the time I was a little disappointed over a couple of things, but mostly I look back at Prometheus 2 and think I really do want to see a sequel, and I really did enjoy the movie. So Prometheus 2 wants to answer huge questions from the original film. So Ridley Scott's talking about, it starts off with a very grand idea or grand question. Who are they, and why did they create such evil biology and bacteriology? To protect themselves from what? So the questions are answered, or rather beginning to be answered, in Prometheus 2. These are quotes from the Toronto International Film Festival. So it's talking about why the engineers did what they did. And it's talking about having Naomi Rapace and Michael Fassbender back, being as they are the only two surviving members. And it's moving forward. So it's another sequel. And actually, this one's moving forward that I'm very excited about. It's slated to start filming January 2016. So that's just around the corner. So I'm very excited about that.
All right, speaking about just around the corner, we finally have a premiere date for Jessica Jones. That's right, I said Jessica, not Jennifer.
Nice.
Yeah, so the next, if you are unfamiliar with what I am talking about, the next Marvel Netflix collaboration. Coming after the first season of Daredevil, we're going to have Jessica Jones, which starring, oh, I just blanked on her name. But anyways, there is a short 1 minute trailer. Kristen Ritter, that's who it was. And it's going to have Kristen Ritter and as the villain, David Tennant as the Purple Man, for people that know what that is. So I am so excited, and it will be premiering November 20th.
November 20th, that is just around the corner.
It's more like a couple blocks and then around the corner, but yeah. But yeah, it's getting closer.
Very much so.
All right, what you got next?
Okay, how Marvel is sticking it to Fox over the X-Men. So we did talk about this a couple months back, how, you know, Marvel is basically leaving out X-Men characters when they have big posters with, you know, a bunch of Marvel characters on it. The X-Men are being left out. Fantastic Four got canceled. Now they're talking about a new series that's coming out. The House of Ideas has released several preview pages for the upcoming ongoing series Extraordinary X-Men. In them, it's revealed that a pure form of the Terrigen Mist, the substance that activates an inhuman's latent abilities upon exposure, has been released, and it's been revealed that it's lethal to mutants. A look into the near future shows this eventually evolves into a new disease that is not only wiping out mutants, but also sterilizing survivors. In other words, if left unchecked, mutants could go extinct. So, worst case scenario is that Marvel is trying to put more pressure on Fox to sell the X-Men properties back by phasing out mutants within the comic book universe. Since Marvel doesn't have the film rights to the X-Men, why dedicate as much attention to them when they can focus on characters fully their own? Hence, mass eradication. However, it's doubtful that would affect Fox right now, since they are moving forward their X-Men cinematic universe, core franchise films like X-Men Apocalypse, spinoff Gambit. So I just thought that was interesting. And then the story goes on to talk about how they're really starting to focus more on the Inhumans, how they featured into Season 2 Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and their role will even get bigger in Season 3. And that an Inhumans movie is finishing off Phase 3 in 2019. So yeah, I just thought that was very interesting. They're possibly ready to go with a nuclear option, should we call it?
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's talk about Pixar.
Okay.
So do you know what I'm sure you know that The Good Dinosaur is going to be the next Pixar movie, but what's coming up after that?
Is it Finding Dory?
Yeah, I think it's Finding Dory. And they were talking about two more movies that are going to be coming. One is going to be 2018, and the other one, I don't know if it's dated yet, but in addition to Incredibles 2, which is definitely getting worked on. So the next two movies, the first one is going to be called Gigantic, which is going to be their unique take on Jack and the Beanstalk.
Okay.
But it's going to be a little different. It's going to have songs written by people from Tangled.
Okay.
But the story synopsis is it's going to be set in Spain during the Age of Exploration. Disney's Gigantic follows adventure seeker Jack as he discovers a world of giants hidden within the clouds. He hatches a grand plan with Inma, a 60-foot-tall 11-year-old girl, and agrees to help her find her way home. But what he doesn't account for her supersized personality, and who knew giants were so down to earth. Gigantic will hit theaters in 2018. The other movie is they're going to be doing a movie based on Dia de los Muertos.
Oh.
Okay. It's called Coco. It's the celebration of a lifetime where the discovery of a generations-old mystery leads to a most extraordinary and surprising family reunion. So there's not much on that one. And there's one other thing that I guess that they introduced a short called Riley's First Date.
Yes, I heard about this.
Right. Riley's First Date ventures into the minds of Riley's parents when a mysterious boy shows up at the front door. And what movie is that from, Art?
Inside Out.
Okay, good. The director of the short said, having a daughter myself, it was a lot of fun to mine my own feelings to show this emotional time in a parent's life. The short will be included as a bonus feature on the HD slash boot or the on the digital HD slash Blu-ray, which will be available digitally October 13th and on Blu-ray November 3rd.
Okay. Wait, let me write that down because Brittany keeps asking me, when is that coming out? When is that coming out? October 13th. Okay. Sounds like a good birthday present for Aubrey. It was October 12th. Let's sign out.
There's a bunch of other stuff, but I might save that for next week.
Yeah. Two comments on that. The Day of the Dead. Have you seen Book of Life?
I have not.
Okay. You need to see Book of Life. I really, really, really like Book of Life a lot. So that is going to be a tall order to make a good Day of the Dead movie. I mean, Pixar, if anybody can do it, Pixar can do it. And I'm just saying that those are big shoes to fill, in my opinion, because I really, really enjoy that movie. And I can't wait to see the date thing, because that is one of the best scenes at the end, where she comes up to the boy, they show inside his head, and it's just, girl, burr, burr, burr. I just laughed so hard, because that's kind of how that went as a teenager. Mm-hmm. So yeah. All right, next up. Frozen may get overtaken as the most popular animated movie ever. So the Minions has crossed the 1 billion mark.
Oh my God.
1.08 billion. Frozen's global box office stands at 1.27 billion. So that's less than 200 million separating the two films. And the Minions just opened to a $20 million opening in China. So it looks like they've taken the number 2 spot from Toy Story 3. And like I said, they may be taking the number 1 spot, you know, which is really kind of impressive considering this did not have nearly as much, was not as much of a pop culture phenomenon. Because, you know, the entire universe may not know the words to Let It Go, but it's kind of safe to say that the entire planet Earth does.
Right.
So I just thought that was interesting. And for such a movie that, I've had so many mixed reactions. I mean, half the people I know who saw it didn't care for it, and half the people loved it, you know, so, which that's totally not the case with Frozen. I don't know hardly anybody who didn't like Frozen. I know maybe one or two people who've openly, you know, talked about it. And I kind of think some of those people, they just like to hate stuff, especially when too many people like it.
Right, right. All right, well, my last news story is I got the double issue of Entertainment Weekly, and they talked about the fall TV preview.
How many was it on the cover? Do you have it like at hand? It
said 115.
115. Okay, it was 100 and something, but I thought it was way. But yeah, that's okay. So go ahead.
So there's a lot of new shows, returning shows, and it basically goes through night by night and tells you when your show is coming back. I didn't realize that The League is going to be starting season 7.
Yeah.
And they're talking about ending it, kind of thing. But there was one show on here that really got my interest, but it's not going to be on cable television. It's going to be on Amazon. It's called The Man in the High Castle. Have you heard about this?
No, I have not.
Inspired by the classic Philip K. Dick novel, this high-concept drama imagines what would happen if the Nazis had built the bomb first and won World War II. Leaving the America split into the greater Nazi Reich in the east and the Japanese Pacific states in the west. The premise alone is rich with a political intrigue as Juliana and Joe carry out secret missions during the early 1960s that may or may not help the resistance. When Juliana discovers newsreels suggest the Allies really did win the war, leading to a massive cover-up, her search for a rebel hero known as the Man in the High Castle will leave viewers furiously trading conspiracy theories on Reddit. But the plot isn't even the best part. It's the evocative paranoid world that creator/executive producer Frank Spotnitz, who had his hand in a lot of X-Files, has built, cast in seasick greens and yellows with swastikas, rising suns, and other propaganda hidden within billboards, and a creeping sense that you'll never really know who or where the enemy is. So that sounds very intriguing. And the good thing is you don't have to circle an additional date in the calendar because it's coming out the same day that Jessica Jones is coming out.
Okay.
So that that piques my interest.
It does sound interesting.
And there was one other thing. I guess that Elementary's coming back.
Okay.
I know that's one of your favorite shows.
Yes, I really, really enjoyed that. Heroes. Heroes Reborn? Heroes Rebirth?
No, it's Heroes Reborn. It's in here too.
Okay.
I don't know how I feel. I don't know, because it sounds very X-Men like.
Oh, okay. It's superhero, so at least it has my interest. You know, whether or not it'll go anywhere or be any good, I don't know, but it at least catches my attention. That's what it does. It catches my attention.
Yeah. We'll see, because I don't know. I don't know what to say. I really didn't watch it past season two, so I don't know what other atrocities he did to it. But
right.
But yeah, I'm trying to find the date for Elementary comeback. But I'm not gonna. Oh, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be September 29th. That will be fun. Yeah, and as usual, I was looking right at it, and now I can't find it, so.
It's always the way. I'm
thinking, great, great radio, Jeff. Great radio.
Yeah, we're all the way at the end of the show. There's probably right. Very few
people what other news do you have while I'm going?
Okay, I have one other piece of news, my last piece of news. Avengers star Paul Bettany has the perfect response to Jason Statham's Marvel slams. So Jason Statham is one of the few actors in Hollywood who has no ambitions to star in a Star Wars or superhero movie. He's one of the even fewer people who will openly bash them. The actor recently made comments degrading Marvel Studios, the big name behind the Avengers film. But the superhero movie giant has its share of defenders. Enter Paul Bettany to throw a defensive punch. So Bettany was quoted as saying, "I try and do as many of the stunts as I can myself, but there are times when it's too dangerous or too tricky. And even the producer says, this is too dangerous and tricky for you. You should know, potentially, he should maybe think about investing in an acting double." So that last comment was directed at Statham.
Mm-hmm.
Because Statham was saying, "I could take my grandma and put her in a cape and put her in green screen and then have a stunt double come in and do all the action. Anybody can do it." And Bettany was like, "I would never talk shit about somebody else's work. I'm just saying, you know, I read the contract. They employ me as an actor. There's obviously stuntmen in the world. You've met them. You've seen them. They're very good at what they do. So let them do it. But if there's a really tricky scene with some very tricky dialogue, one might consider bringing in an acting double for Jason Statham." So, just yeah. Thought that was kind of funny. I love Statham as an action star. You know, I really appreciate the stuff he does. But Paul Bettany is definitely more of a favorite for me. I just really, really enjoy him, and I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, you know, it's people just stick to acting.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what to say. All right, so any more news?
Nope, I am all done.
All right, well, that is going to do it for this episode of Back to Your Box Office. So everyone, thank you for taking the time to listen to our little show, and take care of yourself, and we will catch you next time. Art, any parting words?
Good night. Go watch a movie. Tell us about it.
All right. And sorry we missed you this week, Tad. Hopefully we can hook up again next week. All right. And with that, we will catch you guys next time.